This sermon was preached by Pastor Naphtali Ogalo of Grace Baptist Church, Eldoret, for the Lord's Day, 28th March 2021, during the COVID-19 pandemic restrictions. We welcome you to join with us for worship at Grace Baptist Church, Eldoret. We are located within West Indies Estate, on Cargo Street behind Cogo Flats, Eldoret Town. I bring God's Word. And let me say this by way of introduction. As Kenya is going through the third wave of COVID-19, the President recently announced tough measures to try help contain this pandemic. Now, of course, the measures include, and thankfully so, the vaccine, that is the AstraZeneca vaccine, which is to be given in two stages. Of course, along with other measures, including in some areas, semi-lockdown and the curfew hours extended. But also we are constantly warned to keep all the necessary protocols, the wearing of masks and the washing of hands and sanitizing and keeping distance. And you know what? With all these, there is still no guarantee of safety. No guarantee of safety. And there is a yearning in people's hearts, people's lives. Where will a solution or the solution come from? What is it that people can do to just handle this matter once and for all? And honestly, the whole world does not know. However, this morning, I am sincere in bringing to you of the one who alone is powerful and is full of pity, that in any and every situation, including the situations that we are brought in because of this coronavirus, this one is full of power, is full of pity. He can be trusted for real protection. And that is what in our passage today, he is described as the God of Israel. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 to 39. Matthew 15. And I'm calling the passage today, "Behold the God of Israel." In that passage, I read those verses and then seek to explain and apply as we go along. This is what we read. Matthew 15 from verse 29. Jesus went on from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee. And he went up on the mountain and sat down there. And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at his feet, and he healed them, so that the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. And the disciples said to him, Where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd? And Jesus said to them, How many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. And a few small fish. And directing the crowd to sit down on the grass, on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 7 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men, beside women and children. And after sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and went to the region of Magadan. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the God of Israel, and that any and all who come to you will be satisfied, will be made whole. Oh God, may all this morning see you for who you are afresh. So hear our prayer. Bring good from your word. Lord, hear, for this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you will remember that last Lord's Day, we saw from verses 21 to 28 the very famous story of the Canaanite woman, and that the Lord Jesus had moved, and it's a long way off, but he had moved, made a long journey to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And how long Jesus stayed in the area of Tyre and Sidon is not indicated. What was his big business there anyway? Well, as we saw, he cast out the demon from the daughter of this Canaanite woman. By doing that, Jesus both helped the woman to demonstrate her faith, actually to let her faith blossom. She demonstrated her strong faith in the Lord Jesus. And by doing that, he showed us the actings of true faith. I hope you'd remember that, the actings of true faith. And now we come to this passage, Matthew 15, verses 29 to 39. And we meet the Lord Jesus has moved from the region of Tyre. And we are told in verse 29, he went on from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee. And he went up on the mountain and sat down there. And I want us to see something, because in this passage, as he sat there and people came to him and the great things he did for them, they declared him. He is, of course, but this came out so well that they called him, they glorified the God of Israel. And I want us to see then two main things from this passage. Indeed, the Lord Jesus showing his power and his pity upon people in two ways. One, in healing the sick, and then two, in feeding the hungry. He shows his power in healing the sick, his power and pity in healing the sick, and also in feeding the hungry. And they indeed call him the God of Israel. And so in the first place we see Christ's power and pity in healing the sick. You see, we see here the crowds that came to him. We read in verse 30, and great crowds came to him. The number we are not told, in fact, we are told later of the 4,000, but in verse 30, we are told is great crowds came to him, and that they were bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And that's an amazing statement. Do we not see something of the goodness of the Lord Jesus set before us here? Honestly, it is his goodness. Because we see that he would allow all manner of people to come to him. All manner. Different kinds of people. Honestly, the poor and the rich, Christ will never despise. You see, we are seeing something of his power in this passage. You know what? He healed all sorts of diseases. All those who came to him brought their loved ones. Their neighbors, maybe. But they brought them. All. And that these people had all kinds of diseases. Verse 30 again. And they put them at his feet. And he healed them. Now, nothing is mentioned about what these people said to Jesus. But that they laid their sick, you know, at his feet. Of course, as the objects needing mercy. And, you know, their physical conditions spoke so loudly that they didn't even need to say anything. Please, let us learn this, and we'll be learning various things as we go along, but surely we learn this, that those who would have spiritual healing from Jesus, if Jesus would benefit you spiritually, then you must lay yourself at his feet. Yes. So that he can sovereignly do that which he wishes. You must, as it were, lay yourself at his feet. And of course, he's not here in person, but that you can lay yourself at his feet by faith. Pause a while and consider this. You see, when we read of the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, when we read about these people, you know what? We actually read of what sin has done. Sin and the devil, of course. Sin has turned the world into a hospital. I suppose with the COVID-19 and the way it is causing havoc, claiming lives, and causing people in their millions to lie helpless in bed, needing medical attention. Surely, we are seeing something of what sin has done in this world, and it has turned the world into a hospital. Of course, we see different kinds of diseases that human beings are subjected to now. But please, get this point. Get this point. That regardless of all these various types of sicknesses we read in this passage, and the COVID-19 itself, the Savior conquers simply with the words, and He healed them. And He healed them. And He healed them. And we do not see a struggle, a walking back and forth, a shouting here and there. No, we just told, and He healed them. Oh, do not lose sight of Christ's power in your sickness. Do not lose sight of Christ's power or of His mercies in your miseries. Don't. He is powerful to heal. And if He can heal all this manner of diseases, surely you can trust Him to heal the sickness of the soul, which sin has brought about. But we also see something. We see surely not only the great crowd that came to Him, but we also see the influence that Jesus' action had upon these people. His action had an influence upon these people. Look at verse 31. Verse 31, and we read this, so that the crowd wondered. When they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. So there are those two things, the two influences upon these people, that they wondered. In other words, the things Christ did caused them to wonder. And actually, that is quite scriptural. Quite scriptural in the book of Psalm 118, verse 23. Wonderful are His works. Psalm 118, verse 23. They saw the things that He did, the healings that He performed, and they wondered. Not only did they wonder, they glorified the God of Israel. Now, let us see this. By way of strong contrast, When the Pharisees saw the miracles Jesus did, they blasphemed. Now we have seen that severally in this book of Matthew. They blasphemed. They called Jesus terrible names. Yet, this crowd, when they saw what Jesus did, they glorified God. Honestly, we all must glorify God. We must. You see, those healed of diseases must glorify God. But equally, those spared, graciously spared from these kind of diseases, whether they be blindness or lameness or dumbness or any other diseases, when we are spared, we too have much reason to glorify God as if He had cured us from these diseases. Why am I saying that? Our passage actually says the crowds glorified God. They praised God. So in other words, it's not only the healed people who must have glorified God, but the crowds. Those who saw what the Lord Jesus did for the needy, for the sick, they glorify God. And you know, it is where I'm getting the today's sermon title. It is the God of Israel, the God of Israel alone, who could demonstrate such power and mercy in restoring the sick. You see, this makes us honestly conclude that this crowd, the majority among them really, must have been the Gentiles. The people who the Bible tells us were without hope and without God. But now when they see what the Lord Jesus has done, then we are told they glorified the God of Israel. When people see what Jesus does, they should be able to glorify the God of Israel because of His power. And so, in this first place, just 2 points today, in this first place, we have seen Christ's power and pity in healing the sick. And they glorified Him as the God of Israel. Now, in the second place, Christ's power and pity in feeding the hungry. In feeding the hungry. And so we find this in verses 32 to the end of the chapter. You see, Christ showed His power in this particular passage now. He showed His power and pity in feeding 4,000 men with just 7 loaves and a few little fishes. Now, previously we saw that He had fed 5,000 with 5 loaves, just as the occasion required. And in both of these cases, Jesus took all those who needed feeding and met their needs using what was available. You remember, every time in the previous miracle and in this miracle, as we are going to see, He asked, "What do you have?" And then that which the disciples had was brought, and he made use of it. Oh, in these miracles, the power of nature surely had reached their limit. And we can only say that this is the finger of God, as we are going to see in this particular miracle. I want us to see in verse 32, verse 32, something of Christ's pity. Christ's pity. He says in verse 32, or he said in verse 32, I have compassion on the crowd. Jesus tells his disciples that he's got compassion on the crowd. And why? Well, surely for two reasons. Jesus wants to test them. And this is not a bad test. Jesus wants to test them, want to draw them into thinking very seriously. But equally, Jesus wants to cause them to show sympathy, to show compassion like himself towards the crowd. So he wants to test them, and he wants to draw out compassion out of his own disciples. You see, Jesus engages them in what he's about to do. We are told in that verse 32 that they have been, Jesus says, they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And we surely can't escape to see the zeal and the devotion these people had for the Lord Jesus. They wanted to be with him. They wanted to listen to the things he was teaching. He must have taught them, because that's what always he did. But also, they wanted their loved ones to be healed. And so surely, these people had left their engagements just to be with him, to listen to him, to receive from him. And Jesus, on his part, declares that I have compassion on them. So, do note, all that is done for the Lord, he takes into account. These people are with him, and he does not despise them. Does that not remind us of the verse in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 2, where John writes about the Lord's word to the church in Ephesus, and he says, I know your works, your toils, and your patient endurance. The Lord Jesus knows what his church goes through, what his people go through. And of course, for all that his people go through, they will not lose their reward. So we see, therefore, his pity upon these people. But also, with his pity, we see his care for them. We see his care for them. Again, in verse 32, I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Strangely, the disciples showed unbelief. Or if you like, we may say they showed doubt. Look at verse 33. They say, where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd? Now, when they responded like that, Jesus surely would have question them and ask, are you ignoring my presence with you, O my disciples? Are you ignoring my presence? Or he would have put it something like this. Have you so quickly forgotten what has transpired before? And indeed, we will be seeing a question like that posed to them. But surely, surely, how, when the Lord Jesus is revealing his heart of pity, his heart of care towards these people who have been with him for so long, 3 days, and their foodstuff must have ended. And Jesus says, if I send them away, they may faint on the way. They're hungry. And all these people can respond, the disciples, is, look, we can't feed these people. Where do we get food for them? Oh, my friend, let us learn from their failure. Let us learn from their failure. Someone has said, and I quote, in fact, this is Matthew Henry, who said, if we forget the former experiences, we will be full of doubt in our present circumstances. You think about that. If we forget the former experiences, we will be full of doubt in our present circumstances. And this is why God would constantly, in the Old Testament, bring back, or at least urge his people, the children of Israel, to remember, to recall, to think back, and recount the things that he did for them. Because if they remembered how God rescued them, if they remember how God provided for them, then their present situation will not be an opportunity of doubt or sorrow or disbelief or unbelief. But the disciples here have been so quick in forgetting. We should not be like that. Well, when Christ asked them, how many loaves do you have? Verse 34. Now, he was not ignorant. He was not asking something that he did not know. Christ knew. But he wanted it to be clear just how little he was going to do this miracle with. Yes, he wanted to show them that, listen, what you are saying you have is so small, but put your eyes, as it were, open your eyes and you will see great things before your very eyes. Well, so we've seen his great pity on these people and his care towards them. Then in the third place, we see that, yeah, these people actually did come to see and acknowledge his power. They acknowledge his power through the miracle. Let's see that. In verse 36, we read that he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. You see, it is in the breaking of the bread that they were multiplied, and Jesus kept giving to the disciples, and the disciples kept giving to the crowds, who it to the full. Christ surely is teaching us a vital lesson here. You see, while the world labors tirelessly for what does not satisfy, that is what Isaiah says, the world is laboring for what does not satisfy. Christ offers to those who wait upon him true satisfaction. He provides true satisfaction. Psalm 65, verse 4. You see, the crowd was able to see the power of the Lord Jesus. Jesus is sending a clear message we should not miss. His feeding people again and again reveals that he is more than the man of Nazareth, as he was often called. Really, he should have been known as the man of Bethlehem. And by that I mean the house of bread. Bethlehem, the house of bread. Jesus would have been called the man of Bethlehem, the house of bread. But I suppose we could even say more specifically, and rightly so, Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. Now, of course, someone might ask, but were these people, these crowds, were they really full? And of course, we must answer positively. Yes, they were full. They saw the power. This cannot be denied. You know why? Cannot be denied. Do you know why? The leftovers prove beyond doubt that indeed they ate and they were satisfied. Verse 37. And they took up 7 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Wow. The leftovers proved, even though it is said that they ate and they were full, we are also told that there was so much, plenty left over. And so people ate, and people are full. Well, of course, then we are told that after that, Jesus dismissed the people or sent them back. Of course, they must go back to their homes and live their lives and be able to tell of others what they have seen and heard, what they've experienced with this man they have declared to be the God of Israel. You see, friends, my task has been to point you to Jesus Christ, who is God. He is God in this passage. Of course, they declared him God. He's God, the one indeed who keeps his people and provides for them the food in the due time. The book of Psalm 104, verse 27, and Psalm 145, verse 15. He is the provider. He provides for his people food in due time. And so the crowds, remember again, as we said, the crowds who most probably the majority of them were Gentiles. When they saw his mighty works in healing and providing, of course, the food that they ate, they praised him as the God
of Israel.
You see, when they see Jesus and declare him as the God and praise him as the God of Israel, they really remember what we read about God, the God of Israel, God who promised Abraham he'll bless him so that through him the whole world will be blessed. This God who we read again and again through the Old Testament scriptures, that he's a God of mission, a God who desires the sinners to know him, the heathens to know him, that they may be saved, that they may come and worship him. This is the one they declare. The one who became man to seek and to save. This Jesus. He shed his blood to wash us from all the sins, the diseases that come upon us are all under his control. And remember, with the word, with the touch, with a wish, we've been reading about how Jesus deals with people's diseases. In this passage, we just told he healed. In the passage before of the Canaanite woman, the daughter who was demon-possessed, Jesus was not even near there. Just told the woman, "Woman, go back home. Your child is well." Friends, this is the man I am pointing you to. Would you not on this day acknowledge Jesus as the God who alone can restore you from all that damage that sin has inflicted in you? This Jesus, he alone can satisfy your deepest longing, which nothing else can. Money cannot, property cannot, fame cannot. Only Jesus. And he has been called today in this passage the God of Israel. I point you to him. When COVID is frustrating us in every direction, please look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells diseases, go away. And they go. You trust him, and the greatest of all, sin will not hold you back, will not hold you down, because he will have healed you from it. May the name of the Lord be praised. Let's pray. Lord our God, thank you. Thank you. We have again and again, indeed every Sunday, we have seen Christ. He's been held before us today again. And we see his mighty works. The wicked, of course, would hate Jesus and blaspheme him. But those whom you have given the sight, those whom you have released their tongues, those whom you have healed their dismembered limbs, they praise you as the God of Israel. Lord, we pray that you'd so heal souls that they would praise you as the God of Israel. Hear our prayer. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy in our country. And of course, in other countries, indeed, the world over, have mercy. The COVID-19 pandemic is causing havoc, but have mercy and show the world that it is the God of Israel who indeed has power over COVID-19. So hear us, for this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.